As a disclaimer, this podcast might contain some profanity, so if that's not your thing, then you've been advised.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Making Wave, episode 7!
Woo!
Today episode, we're going to talk about role models and representations. Sounds a little bit serious, but we'll make it less serious, or not. We don't have Aaron with us today. Boo, loser, loser.
He hates the podcast and us, and he hates you, all of the viewers out there.
He quit.
Yeah.
Because of you guys.
Because of Jeffrey, actually.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason. So, because Aaron's not here, just three of us, again, back, I'm Stella.
I'm Naya.
And I am Jeffrey. And yeah, this will be our first episode back from spring break. Unfortunately, it's not spring break at the time of recording this. It's midterms.
Crying inside.
It's not going great. Has everyone's midterms been going well so far?
You think I really want to talk about this?
you should talk about it.
My shit out on the thing.
Shut them up.
I ain't even gonna lie. If people are asking me how your day's going, I'm gonna tell you straight up, horrible. But you know what? Everyone's been so nice and trying to make me feel better. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to have a bad day, and it doesn't equate to a bad life. And then you can't let like your grades define who you are. Because personally, I am letting it define me right now. But you know what? I heard it gets better, so I'm going to just believe it.
Yeah, you know, that's some good advice, but that's spoken like someone who bombed their midterm.
Bro, I wouldn't even say 55 out of 100 is failing. Like, everyone keeps telling me, you could have got 0, as if that's going to make me feel better, bro. Anyways.
You just have to do better.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Be a better person.
Next person.
Do better
so you did
better. But like Stella said, we want to talk a little bit today about role models and representation. And so I think if we want to talk about our representation, the best place to start is kind of when we all first became aware of our own racial identity, because I know I didn't see myself as Asian for at least a decade. So when did you guys kind of first become aware of the fact that you are, you know, I guess a person of color?
Yeah, I kind of realized like, when I looked down at my skin and I was like, the thing is, I kind of grew up in a community with like people of color too. So like, I never really felt outside, like an outsider, or like I was the minority, because the minority was the majority. So that was the best part about it. But I think when I moved to like Utah for high school, that's when I realized like, oh wait, y'all don't look like me. But I guess when you could say when I first became aware of my racial identity was kind of just like, As early as I can remember, and then just going to church stuff, we always went to like the Tongan and Samoan church. So it was very clear, and in our countries, we're very proud of who we are. So then I had to like really know who I was so I could rep it. What about you, Stella?
Me? Again, like I grew up not being a minority. You know, the minority actually are the majority for the rest of the world. But I guess it's also like it's come to a realization for me once I like go to college in the U.S. And then I was like, why is there so many people that it's not
me?
Like me. No, this is like I have been knowing that I'm Asian, you know, like I've been always like acknowledged because I got like opportunity to kind of like be interact people of the majorities. What the fuck am I talking about?
White people?
And like what?
Hey, how do I say
white people?
White people.
Okay. Actually, so college, I'm like, why is there so many white people, you know? And then I'm like, okay, I'm different. But then like growing up, like I watched a lot of like US like TV shows and stuff like that. And then I already know that they're like those like people that scatter around the rest of the world, the Americans and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, like I'm kind of like the minority. I just like got to grow up in the environment surrounded by people that's just like me.
Yeah, I guess I probably could have phrased the question as like the first instance of racialization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you became like aware of your race.
Potato potato.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have the opposite experience, because mm-hmm. we've talked, I mean, you know, hopefully people have been listening to this point where they know our backgrounds. But if you don't, you know, I grew up in Portland, Oregon, white family. Well, my mom is Korean, but adopted Korean into a white family. So like with the white culture, the white neighborhoods, with the K-8 private Catholic school, with like one black girl and me. But my first instance, like I remember it pretty clearly. Well, not super clearly. I kind of remember like the general time frame. But I think there was some sort of like racialized remark made towards me, right? And like it took me completely off back because I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? Or like they made some like, because you know like the cliche like Asian bully jokes that happen when you're growing up? Like the kind of like ching ching chong, like eye stuff, like stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like they would hit me with that and I would have no idea what they were talking like, about.
Who are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm like, who? I'm like, what is this? Because my parents like, I mean you.
I'm white.
Guys, but my parents never really spoke about it. Like, there was no, like, hey, by the way, like, you're growing up a person of color. So there wasn't, like, an element of, like, be proud of it, like in your case, Naya. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a case of, like, this is normal in your case, Stella. Or whatever case Aaron's might have been. I think we can guess he grew up in, like, the Viet community. But it was interesting, yeah. It was kind of like a culture shock. Because I was getting, like, all these racialized remarks made. But, like, I didn't even embody that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, they were, like, so unaware.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be aware in order to be, like, for it to affect me. But it's like, I don't even know who you're talking about. It's yeah. not me.
The first time I understood, this is actually kind of a funny story, bro. They low-key ate with this. But, like, it was during the era where Jeremy Lin was popping off. It was during Linsanity, right? And I was playing kickball because we always played, like, kickball at recess. Mm-hmm. And I, like, I had a nice kick, right? Like, I launched that the ball. Nicest. And they went, Linsanity, while I ran in the base.
Dang.
That's, like, low-key good, right?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Well, it's not even funny though. Like for real though, it's not funny.
Mm-mm, it's kind of funny.
Do you laugh?
Yeah, but it's like
you got it.
At no, that but, point in time, like you don't even really understand it's malicious. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they'd make those jokes. Like I don't even think a lot of the time when the kids made the jokes with malintent. Mm-hmm. Like it's like you kind of just repeat what you see, and it's like you see that kind of joke in media, like Ken Jeong making a fool of himself or something. Mm-hmm. You're like, ah, like, it's funny. Like I'm like, yay, Linsanity. Like yeah, I kicked that ball. You know?
Mm-hmm. Like let's make racism like a funny thing. They normalize that here. It's not.
Yeah. So for the most part, you kind of had like immediate communities around you that represented you?
Yeah, for the most part, it was pretty great. I mean, it helped because I went to school with people that looked like me. I went to church with people that like literally were like family. I went to like sport events, participated in sports with kids that looked like me. So it was just like, I don't know, it was the normal up until Utah where it wasn't normal at all. So...
You went to high school in Utah for like
yeah,
high school?
I went to high school there. Damn. I don't even know why I didn't, like my mom didn't think I was going to do good in LA. Like, come on. I was just, yeah, I probably would have dropped out if I stayed in LA. So my mom really set me up. But it went good. I mean, it was just like a different culture because like, I mean, it's so stereotypical. Can we talk about religion? I want to talk about it. It's so stereotypical. Like, if you're from Utah, you're literally Mormon. And, bro, what am I? I'm literally Mormon. But it's, like, a different type of, we might not be able to say this, but I'm going to just say this. Like, honestly, people are known for, like, if you're Mormon, you be judging people because, like, they drink coffee or because they wear immodest clothing or because they cuss. But I'm like, bro, if that's the case, then I should have been, like, executed from this church a long time ago. Like, the church is going to burst up in flames if I walk in, like, given my track record. But I feel like it's not even a Mormon thing. It's literally a white stereotypical Mormon thing that, like, is just very stereotypical and it's so right. But yeah, I don't even know where I'm at with this, but
would you say that was even within like your immediate Tongan Samoan like living community? Did they have those former beliefs? Are you saying like did you guys have your own views of how to live your religion and then like the other Mormons had their own views about how to live it?
Yeah, no, it was definitely different views because like I mean my whole family like they do ungodly things. They do not follow the commandments, like, by the book. You know what I'm saying? Like, not that we shouldn't, but, like, we just don't. And that's okay because, I mean, we just feel like as long as you're trying your best, that's all that matters because it's all you can do is just to try your best. But it definitely affected me just because of, like, I feel like the environment that you're around plays a huge role with who you are, because even when I came here it was a different environment, new people, and it changed me. And sometimes it can be for the better and sometimes it can be for the lesson, for the plot maybe. But yeah, my immediate community was, I feel like it's definitely played a role in every aspect. But like you said, your community was predominantly white and then
entirely
and then your community was like entirely Viet. So like I don't know. How does that affect you guys?
Like, how is it being, like, how does it shape you? I feel like Yeah, like, you have great questions. When you talk about, like, how, like, you were surrounded by the environment and how it affects you and, like, shape who you are, mm-hmm. I feel like that's, like, that plays a huge part in, like, shaping who I am.
Or even, because, like, takes away from who you mm-hmm, are, too.
Yeah, because, even though I'm growing up in, like, an environment just surrounded by, just not just Asian people, like, Vietnamese people, like, Asian people, I'm still... I like how I perceive the world and how I like see stuff change a lot when I like come here as well, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like it shapes you, but it's also like you gotta be like wise in order to, you know, mm-hmm. get that stuff and perceive it and to make yourself like a better person as well. So I was like,
yeah, it was weird for me. Like, this is kind of deep. Like, if thoughts are on a linear path, this is, like, far down my path as far as, like, where, like, these thoughts are coming in. Like, we're not going to build up to it. But I think based on your community, like, your racial and ethnic identity allows and brings forth different things, right? Like, if you're in, like, if you look like Stella, who's hella Viet as fuck, hella. Right? And you're in, like, Hanoi, it's going to bring something different than if you look how you do and act how you do in, like, America. Mm-hmm. And so for me being, like, like moderately Asian looking,
you
like,
do
right like
you do
for like the Asian like I low-key
you look Asian
that Jin's in there right
yeah
you know me looking to what I did in that community brought forth more hardships I would say than it did enrichment right because I think and this is my belief with a lot of things I'm gonna go like way into my thought process like I think part do of it. Being a person of color like one of the most important parts of that I think is pride like I think having a sense of pride in your identity is what can, the majority of time when you live in a diaspora, kind of keep you moving forward. Because, like, even if people say this about me, like, you're eating Lunchables, right? These white people boil chicken. And not in, like, the good way, you know?
Right, not so in
it's
the
like,
good way.
Yeah, and it's like, you might feel ostracized in one community, but you have the other community that's from that mm-hmm. same background as you, and so you have enrichment, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, in me and my sister's case, and I think a lot of Asians, or maybe adopted people, too, could relate to this, because my mom is adopted. When you look a certain type of way but don't really embody the culture that people who look that way generally have, mm-hmm. then a lot of the times the only experience that you have being a person of color in that environment is discrimination. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. for me, the only times that I heard I was Korean was when they were like, oh, like, well, they didn't call me like a chink or anything, mm-hmm. right? But it was like the ching ching chong, like the eye pull. Like that's the only time that I felt racialized in that sense. It wasn't mm-hmm. eating some good ass food or like singing some songs or like wearing like cultural clothes mm-hmm. or getting money for like the Lunar New Year, mm-hmm. right? And so I think for a lot of people, it creates this association of to be a person of color is to experience oppression. And so that's mm-hmm. where I think I would see like a lot of resentment coming up in people's minds, mm-hmm. you know? And on the topic of, sorry guys, I'm gonna keep talking.
No, go
on the topic
ahead.
Of representation, I knew one very interesting person. I won't name him. We'll call him. I was about to say his real name because who's gonna know?
It.
Let's call him Aaron. Aaron. All right, let's call him Aaron Vong. But I knew someone named Aaron who was Filipino, right? But his mom was like far into her generations, and his dad was white. And so we didn't really have a lot of Filipino origin growing up. Mm-hmm. And so he would always say two things. The first he would say is that he wished he wasn't Asian. But this is going to sound nuanced. I'll explain it. Like, he would also say that sometimes he wished that he could be, like, a different type of person of color. Like, he wishes he could be black. Mm-hmm. He would always reiterate that. And it's a little weird when you hear it, right? Like, it's kind of fucked up,
odd.
Right?
That's a bit odd.
But, like, I gave a lot of thought to it. And I think the other component, especially being Asian, especially, like, 2020, kind of that mm-hmm. time frame, is that we lacked the representation to kind of give that sort of pride and enrichment if you didn't have your own personal connection to it. Because, mm-hmm. like, and this has its own huge bag to open, like its own Pandora's box. But I feel like if you're black or, I mean, a lot of other different, you know, racial identities, there's a lot to aspire for in media and a lot of different groups and organizations kind of inspiring a sense of pride. Mm-hmm. But I never saw that myself in media growing up for mm-hmm. being Asian.
And it's like if you don't see someone who looks like you excelling in things that you want to do or things that you don't even want to do, it's like you don't even know what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm. Or being praised for the things that they do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's like you had Asian people making their strides or coming forward and you kind mm-hmm. of saw a lot of oppression for it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh,
it's like,
Asian
damn, man. We just can't win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's interesting. Like, so all that to tie back together. Yeah. Growing up in the community was like the association created with being Asian or Korean was just the oppression and not everything else.
I know. What's the two words you use? You said enrichment and
suppression.
Wait.
For
you,
what?
And you, when you first began, you're like, I feel like it was like a community of enrichment, but it was also, damn, I don't even know.
I don't even remember.
The other one. I don't know. It was like the Play opposite of enrichment. It was the opposite of enrichment. But I don't know. I kind of, something clicked in my head when you said something like that, where it's like, yeah, I was very proud to be who I am. And it's like you said, like when you're out here, depending on what spaces you're in, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud to be Asian. I'm so proud to be Tongan. Like, I can't imagine. Versus like when you're back with your community that you belong to. And sometimes you could feel like, you don't belong in that community because, hey, I don't speak the language. I don't know how to make the food. I don't know how to do all of the traditional customs. And, you know, I don't even care. There's some people just like, you're not even really like fully because I don't check off all the boxes and like how to be a complete Tongan and Samoan, how to be like, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, at the end of the day, the blood quantum don't lie. We share the same blood. It's in me and it's in you. And it's like, you can't tell me that I'm less of who I am just because you're more of who I am. So I just wanted to make that note that it's not just people who are like people outside of your cultural group, but it's also people that are in your, what is it, your ethnic grouping, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. I can see a lot of people, they're like, okay, say like pride, like they do have that thing inside of them that makes them, you know, proud of who they are. But then being and having that ideas of like too much pride towards that, and then put that pressure on the people that's also the same as you, but like you don't see them like acting the way that you expect them to act, and that's like objectify them in like a way that like makes people feel less than you, and that's like, that sucks. Yeah. And I do know a lot of people that do that a lot, like just like in the community as well.
Well, I got two thoughts. The first with Stella is that I haven't really thought about this for a while, but everyone kind of, well, maybe not y'all, I guess, but I think for like a lot of like maybe Asian Americans, like we all remember back in like 2018, 2019 when like the boba trend was really happening. Mm-hmm. Even recently, like the Valorant, Keshi type thing. Like what you said about people wanting to feel more of like their heritage identity, their ancestral mm-hmm. identity, more Tongan, more Asian, mm-hmm. you know, more Korean, more Japanese, whatever. I think that is something that exists even for the people who call or insult other people for not being enough of an identity.
Stereotyping.
And I think that a lot of the times, and I know I did this, I think I've observed a lot of people sometimes embracing stereotypes in an effort to feel more of an identity. Because when I hear people kind of like looking down on other people for not doing what they think is associated with some sort of cultural group, a lot of the time I think it comes from a place of insecurity. Like you're like, hey, you're not Asian because mm-hmm. you don't drink this boba, you don't play this music, and you don't speak this language, but I am. Right? Someone else in the diaspora, mm-hmm. but I'm Asian because I do this. You're the one who's not Asian enough.
Like you have to prove to somebody else that they're not enough because you feel like you're not enough. Let's talk about it. Let's unpack it.
Well, I think it's like there's two approaches, right, to kind of making quote unquote peace with that kind of turmoil. Like you can either remove yourself from the pressure of feeling some expectation to be a racial identity, or you could climb the hierarchy.
And be the stereotype.
If that hierarchy is in your head and you lean into that hierarchy, it's mm-hmm. like, well, this is my hierarchy and I embody this and this guy doesn't, so I'm Asian.
But it's like, that's low-key you too.
Right, and when mm-hmm. you really think about where a lot of the stereotypes come from, like mm-hmm. a lot of them are white-oriented.
Literally.
Or white in originations. Mm-hmm. Because that's the media that we absorb. Like we get all these people pushing on us what it means to be Asian. Mm-hmm. You gotta be good at math, you gotta mm-hmm. eat this food and speak this language mm-hmm. and experience this oppression and wear this clothing. You know, it's like, where does that really come from? Like, whose ideals of being Asian are we embodying?
Right. Is it if I'm from an Asian or from a white man?
Why'd you look at me during that?
That hit different, though.
Yeah. Well, I have one other thing.
Okay,
not
duh.
To keep talking.
No,
I'm sure
ahead.
The viewers are sick of it. You also mentioned the idea of being, like, secure, insecure, and, like, your identity as being, like, a person of color. Or like any sort of identity, any sort of ethnic identity. I thought about that a lot too in terms of like my efforts to be Korean, mm-hmm. right? Like, and I feel like one thing that helped me make peace of it was the more I absorbed Korean culture and went to Korea, the more I was like, damn, like, do I really want to be some purist Korean type in the first place? Mm-hmm. Like, not in a way that throws shade, but like, I've had people ask me this before and I'm like, look at the people who are telling you that and like, look at what generally speaking, because it's nuanced and there's a lot of different identities, like, but this like continent or this country or this ethnic group embodies as a whole, like, is that really what you even want for yourself? Because a lot of the times in like some of these countries, you'll see like, frankly, like a lot of misogyny, like a lot of traditional gender roles and homophobia. You'll mm-hmm. see elements of racism, of classism, like
colorism.
Like, are we really aware of the nuances of these cultures that we're striving for?
That we're really trying to rep so bad.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We put it on a pedestal as if it's like actually all that great. Love our culture though, love it to death. But I just feel like sometimes you gotta take a step back.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like it's like, and in the end of the day, it's like you identifying as a person of color, and then like, you know, like again, like make peace out of it, like acknowledge it within mm-hmm. yourself, like having that approval, like that acceptance from people that's like kind of the same as you. It's not gonna make it better. It's just gonna make your insecurity like grows more and more mm-hmm. in a negative way, you know.
Yeah, and roll the clip for this. This is about to be good. Because the thing that really made my piece, I forgot this until right now, actually. But, like, I kind of switched my mental framework from being, like, I used to try to think, how can I push myself in the mold of what I think it is to be Korean? Like, how can I fit into the Korean culture? And I feel like just a simple flip-flop of asking instead, how does the Korean culture embody who I am? Right? Like, it's not how do I feed into this identity, it's how does this identity construct me? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's all it took for me. Because mm-hmm. it's like, I don't have to force myself into a mold that I don't even know if it's mm-hmm. real because I'm not from Korea, mm-hmm. right? You look and absorb these cultures and appreciate the richness that feeds into you and adapt it into your new environment to create mm-hmm. your best circumstance. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is, you know?
I love it. Like, I don't know, explain it. Like, you're creating who you are, not letting this already pre-made ideology conform you into this box.
It's an organic identity.
Literally.
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 That is a terrible British accent.
That is so beautiful.
Well, that was a lot. How about we take a quick segment break?
Let's take a segment.
Let's take a segment.
It is spring term now, the sun is out, the fun is out, and I'm sure we're all trying to have a good time. But school's not over quite yet, guys. We have a spring term survival guide ready just for you guys by people who have survived spring term quite a few times. So let's get into it. What are your best spring term activities?
Dude. Dude, I honestly, spring term, I look forward to spring term just to don't fucking have to like be under the rain anymore. Mm-hmm. Like have at least some suns in, some vitamin D's in, some warm day where I can like lounge around the fucking field, not feeling like shit, like gross, like moldy. And then like it's just like, and then the flowers start like blooming and I know summer's coming. It's just like, it gives me, you know, that kind of vibes where I'm like, I'm chilling, I'm good, you know? Mm-hmm. And towards the end of the year as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm like extra like hype about just everything.
No, I feel you. The weather makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. I feel like spring term is like a personal favorite. I mean, the sun is out and it's like, it's where you get that in Oregon for like, honestly, the school year. I mean, of course you can get it in the summer, but like low-key half of us are gone in the summer. But I feel like my favorite thing to do is to just literally walk around campus. It's so enjoyable versus like walking around in some dreadful rain and like just wind and it's cold. I mean, we were just literally complaining. I mean, by the time this gets released, hopefully the weather will be better. But like we were just complaining about how cold it is and how we forgot our sweaters and how just like life sucks. And I think it's going to hit, what, 30 degrees tonight or something like that. But anyways, I just can't. My favorite thing is just to walk around campus, go to Monroe, get some yummy food, get some boba, just walk around, smell the trees. Mm. But you know what I do hate the bees. Ugh. I do be running. I'm not gonna lie. Stella don't care though. Stella, do you remember when she?
I remember. Actually, was it training?
Jackets? Yes, it was training. Yeah. Dude. And I ate because I just got stung early in the summer. I was like, fuck no.
Dude, I remember this one time. I literally like flick a fucking bees when it's like sitting on my food. I was like, get the fuck out.
I think you flicked that bee at me though.
Was it? Was it? Yes. The bees? Dude, I flicked a lot of bees. Honestly, I flick a lot of
people. You're not scared.
I honestly, and then I think I used to scare of it because of the noise that it make. And then like, and then the idea is gonna like stings you and you're gonna be like in so much pain. And I got fucking stung by a bee once.
Really?
Yeah, and that was really bad. That was really bad. And then at that time, I hated it.
Guys, there was one time during our staff training that Stella and Naya referenced where we were golfing, we were top golfing, and there were yellow jackets there, and we had gotten some food, and these things were swarming, right?
It's going crazy.
Just going crazy. And Stella, some old guy was like, you know, you can just clap him. Stella walks up, she pushes us to the side, mm-hmm. and she just listens. She starts clapping them, just boom, right in front of me too.
And they're dropping, mm-hmm. bodies dropping.
And she was doing it in a way where she wasn't even the closest one to them. Like if she misses, I'm getting stung. But she don't miss, she never miss.
She don't. People that like bees are gonna cancel us.
Yeah, for me though, the spring term activities, at the least, just pull up your blinds and open a window while you study.
There you have
right?
it.
Right, as long as there's some sunlight coming through the room, like mm-hmm. that's the bare minimum. Personally, and Stella knows this, I love a picnic. If you're 21 or older, a little Moscato maybe, a little sparkling, even a Stella Rosa.
A little cheese,
lavender goat cheese, right. A little salami. You need some cured meats, right? Can't forget the fruit, a little citrus. Right. And for me, when I do a charcuterie board, people don't, you know, you mentioned this earlier, like I love some nuts.
Right.
You said you love these nuts.
You love those nuts, Jeffrey. You love those nuts.
But no, actually, though, nuts on a charcuterie board, like, it just balances the flavor. You know, when you eat something really sharp, you need, mm-hmm. like, a little bit of almond. Or
no, I literally heard that, like, nuts are brain food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Head food.
Those are good for your body.
Yeah. Yeah. Healthy fats. So, mm-hmm. picnics, reading is really nice. Just find a bench, yes. bring a blanket, sit down, read a book. Mm-hmm. But just laying down, take a nap, put some music on.
Soaking in the sun. I mean, mm-hmm. not gonna lie, the quad gets pretty full. People be there like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm telling you, as soon as the sun is up, all the hoes coming out. Everyone is like, all the hoes, me.
A quick plug, the APCC has a private yard and we have picnic blankets.
No, don't so tell them.
We're not gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. If you guys wanna take our advice and catch some sun, APCC picnic blankets, we got a little bit of sunlight. Sun's usually out in full force there before 4 or 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So come on out.
And a fully equipped kitchen.
Okay, so that was a little fun segment, you know, just to splash away those heavy conversation that we had a little bit
making
before.
Moves.
So we're going to be coming back to our main topics. So let's start off with a question about role model. So what role models do you guys have in media? And like, what is your role model?
Bro, the first person that I knew that was like my role model was The Rock. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking, bro? I used to eat that up. Like, I just remember because he was very like, I'm Samoan. And I was like, that's my uncle. You're my uncle then.
WWE
type. And it didn't help because my brothers used to watch it. So then, and obviously that was like one of their favorites. So then I was like, The Rock is so cool. So like, I mean, I don't know about role model, but he's definitely someone that I saw in the media that like was the model.
Like that was you.
Yeah, I was like, that's me.
Did you guys practice the moves and stuff?
Yeah, no. My brothers practiced on me and I would not cry because I would practice on them too. I would Rey Mysterio ass, so.
Is that why you always put me in fucking headlocks? Bro, I know you're talking about. Naya will just choke me out.
It's
sometimes.
Because WWE, bro. Like, my brother's just really, like, used to, like, headlock the fuck out of me.
So this is all because of The Rock?
Yeah, all because of The Rock. And that's what molded me into who I am today.
Yeah, how old were you when, like, you started aspiring?
Bro, that was, like, how old I was when I started to aspire to do headlocks and stuff like that.
And be The Rock.
I think I was, like, maybe, like, fourth grade, that's a lie, like third grade for sure, maybe second even. But yeah, The Rock was one of the first people that I saw in the media. With Jossie.
To be honest, like, I did not have an Asian role model until high school. Because, I mean, like, when you really think about the kinds of Asian men that were being, like, shown in media, like, I'm not going to want to be Ken Jeong in The Hangover. Or like Randall Park as Kim Jong-un.
I thought Jackie Chan was hella cool though.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that. But I didn't really absorb like the martial art kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. My first like APEDA role model, this is crazy, it was BTS.
Really? Yeah,
sophomore year of high school. Dang. And it was like almost emotional. Because the first time I heard BTS, I was like, damn, like, these are my people, bro. Because it's like, I will not claim that I look anything like anyone in BTS, right? But I definitely looked more like them than I did like Chris Hemsworth, right?
And so it's like, who do you think you look like? Tell the truth.
I think J-Hope. You know? I look like J-Hope. Big forehead, long face. Yo, cut that out.
Oh but, my God. Is it why you hate the horse?
No. It's like petty. Like I feel threatened. My horses coming from my brand. No, but it was BTS. Because, I don't know, just hearing people who are so proud of their own identities, like what you said, The Rock just claiming it, like people seeing it in Korean and such a positive public reception, you know, like getting people, seeing praise for not only people who kind of looked like me in terms of like physical racial identity, but also their expression. Jimin, like, he a little, he can a I little say fruity?
Sassy.
Yeah.
Fruity?
He's a little sassy. Like, he's a little, you know, and so that was definitely closer to me than like the typical like white American
martial masculine. Art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it was great to see not only someone who looked like me, but also someone who expressed themselves like me. And then the Korea booze came into it, which we'll talk about. So that kind of fucking killed it. But 2018 BTS, that was me.
I remember when BTS was getting, because I never heard of them until it was like 2018 when all my little cousins were like learning the dances and stuff. I was like, who are these people? What is this cult? And then I was like, oh, and then they actually have some really good music. I mean, ask me to name a song, I probably can't tell you. But, like, I just know they got some pretty good music.
Mm. Yeah. We'll talk about that. But, Stella, what? Who are your role models in media?
I honestly, I don't think that I have a role model. I have a person that I really like is Kaehee Kwan. It's also, like, pretty recently for me as well.
Wait, who is that?
He's in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, and he was also the little kid in Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
What?
No, he, you know, like, me reading about him, I read, like, an article about, like, he, just like how he grew up, how he was raised in that family and how like it like affect him and how like he like got to this point of his life, you know, it's just like it's so inspiring. And so I was like, damn, that's crazy. But the first, I don't think that I have like a role model. I have like, you know, I'm like, I used to be a big fan of BTS as well, honestly.
Korea boo.
Yeah, no, fuck. Actually, not BTS. Before BTS, I liked Big Bang so much. So much. I feel like I can sing every Big Bang song, heart by heart. Test. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it means, but I can't fucking sing it, like, perfectly. And my Korean friends are like, you learn Korean? I was like, fuck no. I just know it, bro.
That bang, bang, bang.
That bang, bang, bang. But I used to like BTS a lot for, like, a good, like, a year and a half. And then everybody start fucking, like, go crazy for BTS. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then I start, like, not liking them as much anymore.
Yeah. So interesting. So all of us found role models who we saw ourselves kind of, like, embodied within for different reasons. That's cool. Yeah, man. So the BTS thing, let's talk about it. Because we were talking about Korea boos earlier. I feel like it's, like, two things, like, I was taking a consumer behavior class. I study business for anyone listening. And there's an idea of a sacred entity and then a profane thing. So a sacred entity is something that you kind of pedestal and worship, and something profane is something kind of ordinary. And I feel like when I first found BTS, and it was kind of something like, it was like a buy us for us kind of thing. Like that buy Asian people
for us.
Yeah, you know.
By the students, I mean, it's for everyone, students.
But yeah, it's kind of like that. But I feel like as soon as it kind of, like it was something for me and me to be proud of and something that was uniquely mine to claim because I was Korean. Like that's kind of how I envisioned it, for better or for worse. But I feel like as, especially white people, started to kind of like, not only like it, but sort of be like, embody it.
Ruin it. They take like, everything and ruin it.
It kind of felt like it profaned it a little bit. Like it was like no longer this special thing for me to connect with that was kind of popular for the reason that it was a cultural export. It was just like, ooh, these guys are hot and now they sing in English. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I feel like they lost that. I don't, because when it got so popular, like they got so popular, like good for them. Like I'm happy for them, this and that. But, like, it's that popularity that like kills it all. It's like they're so original in the beginning, in like the first like 3-4 years of like that they have, and then like it's got like too popular, and then people are just like going crazy about it, and then makes it like a, like, you know, like a that stereotypical, you know, image for you to look in, and then like, you know, like,
yeah. But like literally, that literally is what like what colonialism is, right? Where like they come and take what we are. I mean, and then we say loss of identity, loss of culture. Bro, you straight stole that shit. Call it what it is. You stole it. You stole my identity because you don't like being who you are.
Yeah, and it does go both ways. Like, it was definitely a follow the money. Like, the K-pop industry as a whole kind of sold out. You know, but it's like also when you force a monetary system on people to begin with, because, you know, right? Most indigenous communities didn't really have that kind of
fuck system, capitalism. So,
yeah, but I do think it's interesting, the idea of Koreaboos, because, well, let's be real, like, Koreaboos aren't just white people. There are plenty of Asian people, Epida people, who they just like, man, you are too into this.
Which ones?
Like, but no, I mean, there are a lot of Asian people who embrace Korean culture and idolize it in a pedestal like their own. And I think it's interesting to unpack, because we said earlier that one of the things that helps instill a sense of pride is being able to be proud of your own culture. Mm-hmm. So why are these people proud of a different culture than their own? My personal belief, and this is kind of how I feel with Japan too, like, I think when you grow up in America, when we see Asian people in media, it's like there's space for one ethnic group at a time. I think way back when it was Chinese, right, when you kind of had, like, the Jackie Chan and, like, the Kung Fu. Mm-hmm. Then it went to Japan, which is when you saw Weeaboos get integrated. And now we all watch anime, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's been Korea recently, right? Where it's the K-pop and it's the K-dramas and it's the K-skincare and K-style. It's K-everything.
True.
And one, that's intentionally manufactured by these countries. But two, I mean, I think it's fair to say that when, especially if you're separate from a community and you're looking for something to be proud of on the basis of being Asian, and that's what you see in mass media as being Asian and good, it makes sense to connect to it, right? And that's also maybe the only thing you have access to. I would not know where to find a Via drama, but I open Netflix and they're pushing it down my throat, right? But so I have like a little bit of sympathy. Like, I probably still would have liked it if I wasn't Korean, but...
But I'm Korean.
But yeah, so I guess we'll never know. Like,
I mean, there's like goods and bads as well. But like at this time, it's like the negativities. It's like it's just kind of like overtake that.
Like whatever's popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people get real anxious. Like, am I Koreaboo? Like when they're like, I know like so many people like, I'm not a Koreaboo, right? And I'm like, I'm like,
you're not. I'm like,
where'd you study abroad? Like, what'd you get to there? Were you like just like at bars? Were you like going to like K-pop museums? Like, probably. Were you like, you know, ooh, that was the worst. Not to like keep talking about
it. Did you go to one?
But, well, I went to, I was in school in Korea for 5 months, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, those Koreaboos, they were out there full force.
Out there.
Like, I'd be taking class in like Korean culture where they talk about like Korean architecture, Korean music, Korean social movements, and these bitches only showed up for the K-pop parts.
And then Korean music.
Question.
All right, guys. So, given the people that we did see in the media, or people that we kind of look up to, not so much look up to, but people that we've seen, what sort of roles do you think were pushed on us, whether it be social, career, or gender, given the role models, quotation marks, role models that we saw in the media?
Well, I think being like an Asian man, it's its own sort of roles, right? For, I guess, looking at Asian men in media, it was definitely a sense of emasculation for the most part. You, initially, Naya, a little bit ago, talked about like the Kung Fu man. I read a book about that, Interior Chinatown. Where it's kind of like there's a whole generation of people, maybe about 10 years earlier, who kind of like that was the representation. And a lot of people wanted to embody that. Mm-hmm. And I think one component of that was the intersection of gender, right? Like, this is a strong man who's whooping ass, right? Mm-hmm. Like, low-key, I don't think I ever really saw them beat on white men. Like, it was like only Asian people beating on Asian people. Yeah, I mean, so I think there was like a whole generation where it was like my only fame to success or like way to be masculine is violence. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of fucked up.
That is fucked up, because then it takes away from like, oh, well, I can't be creative. I can't be, you know, all these different things. I can only be violent. That's how I will be praised.
And then the next one was the kind of silly nerd or like shameless funny guy. Like, we all know the Asian nerds.
Like weird.
Yeah, weird, quiet, study hard, make my family proud. Like, so there was that, you know, the doctors. And then there was like the silly guys like Harold and Kumar, or again, I'm just airing him out, Ken Jeong. You know, like there was a lot of that. Like that's all you really saw though. Like it was just some silly secondary character. But that changed a little bit. Fresh Off the Boat came out. I loved that show. Like I thought that was a great like kind of depiction of like an immigrant family. You know, recently The Brother's Son came out. You saw Shang-Chi, which I personally have issues with. People don't like me saying that, but it's fine.
I personally feel that the sort like roles that I saw that Pacific Islanders played in movies were just like, they were just exploited for their bodies. Like you don't even, they're looked at as like people that have no intelligence, that are just dumb, but like, hey, they're really strong and they can save you and they can like lift this building. But it's like, it kind of makes you feel like, oh my gosh, that's the only thing I can do. It's like, and then it plays into the athletic stereotype where even though like, low-key are athletic volleyball champs, which is so annoying because it's like, damn, like we do follow stereotype, but like I don't follow stereotype. I mean, personally, all of PIA, they always be having open gyms, like religiously, you know what I'm saying? Like they go to open gyms, they play volleyball. And then it's like me, I don't go to open gyms because I will get hit by the ball. I didn't even participate in the volleyball team because I suck at volleyball. So then I feel like these roles that were kind of pushed onto people, that like it kind of made me feel out of place because I was like, dang, like I don't identify well with that. I'm the most unathletic person. But the thing is, I'm intellectually there and I don't see people like that in at least the media. But like, hey, when in the world of academia, I see people like that, like the professors and the faculty and the staff. But it's like, I mean, it's helpful. But in a way, it's also like, damn, I just have to realize that the people that I want to be like are not always going to be on TV. Because it's like you said, like Hollywood is not going to produce like, oh my gosh, a smart brown person. They're going to be like, okay, let's just make them a lunk of ham just right there waiting to save the day. And it's just like, yeah, it sucks.
That is a good point, because representation is a double-edged sword. Because for me, like when I was growing up, and like I know I just said Fresh Off the Boat's great, but like I did not relate to anything in that. Because I think especially when something comes out and everyone around you who's of a similar identity goes, I see myself in this. This is groundbreaking. This is pushing us forward. Like this represents us, but it doesn't represent you. Uh-huh. That is that's alienating. It's a little ostracizing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, this really, yeah, guys. Like, yeah. I'm acting like I wasn't bringing Lunchables to school. Like, yeah, guys, they made fun of my food too.
I brought that to the field trip.
Yeah, guys, like I also like have a language barrier with, or you know, something like I also like have broken Korean or my broken language. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like
yeah, I totally resonate with that. Like, I'm also that person. Yeah. I encompass that.
Yeah, my parents were also like this. Like, no, they weren't. You know, like.
We were actually very prestigious.
Yeah, like the overemphasis of representation, it can be dangerous sometimes. Mm-hmm. But what about you, Stella? What kind of roles were pushed towards you?
Well, obviously, I feel like for like Asian females, Asian women in general, they like it's like also like, you know, career, you know, you got to be good at school because you're Asian. That's like just stereotypical, like, you know, Asian mindset that you have to be smart. You have to like succeed in life, career, this and that. And then not just like being succeeding like Korean stuff, but as a woman and as an Asian woman, you have to be in a position like a woman that like in the kitchen and then serve your like partner, your husband, you know, like you have to like do all of this, but also like succeed in life, this and that. Like it's like, it's also like my family, they see like me as like, you know, you got to do good, but you also have to like have that mindset where you're like, you're gonna like get married, you're gonna be like settle in the family, and then you're gonna be like that, what is it, trophy wife, you know, like, you know,
with the degree, though.
Yeah, with a degree, but you still have to be good in your career so people won't look you down as an Asian representations, stuff like that.
Do they expect you to like compromise your career, like stop working when the family's born, or
no, you have to do both,
you just keep working?
Yeah,
and
you
house.
Have to like do both, because if you failed at one, you failed it all. Because, you know, again, like, parents, they look at it, they're like, oh, you got an A minus? That's not A. That's not perfect. Mm-hmm. What they want is is perfections. Mm-hmm. And if you, like, you lost, like, just a tiny, tiny bit out of that, you're like, you shift a little bit out of that perfectionist, then that's it. And you don't have anything. It's just like, it's not enough. This and that.
And that shit's crazy because you know our parents were not getting those grades, bro.
For sure. Like, it's like, absolutely.
I'm the issue, bro. Like, not like I love y'all, hypocrites. But like, shit, what have y'all done? Like, like your biggest accomplishment's me, bitch. Like, you know. But I mean, we haven't talked about it. The model minority trope, that's That's there. Is there a model minority for like Pacifica identities, would you say? Like a I know there's a meme for like there's that one guy, right, who's the astronaut, Navy SEAL doctor, the Asian guy, and everyone's like, don't show my mom this, like, cuz that's like, that is like the perfect.
And then you're
like
an astronaut, yeah, and then you're this and this.
Yeah, that is like the perfect model minority. Like, is there like a just a archetypical, like,
I feel like the typical one would be an athlete, like an NFL athlete.
Like Tua?
Yeah, like Tua, like Talanoa, like Hufanga. Like, honestly, it's just a tip. If you make it to the NFL, like, oh my gosh, you are it. Which is like, how am I making it to the NFL? Like, I already lost before I couldn't even be in the race if I wanted to. So that's why I have to be a doctor.
Like, so would you say, like, the same avenues for, like, reaching that, like, blueprint success, like, isn't really there as much for, like, a woman in your communities? Or
I feel like, I mean, I just feel like it's not there, because even if we do become super successful, it's just not in the way that your parents would want you to. I mean, it's really just different. And that's what, when gender comes into it, where it's like you are specifically supposed to be like fit into this gender role. So if it's like, oh, if you're not like, you know, a boy and you're not like taking sports seriously, then, and if you're a girl, then you need to be able to be like, kind of like what Stella said, you have to be a mother, not just to your kids, but to, like, you know, your siblings and making sure they're okay, and then also to people around you, taking care of your community. I feel like there's just so many roles you can hold, and if you don't hold them all, then you're good for nothing. Like, you're literally worthless. It's like, that's why this midterm really like fucked me up, because I was like, damn, if I'm failing in my academics, like, everything else, it doesn't matter. Like, everything else does not matter, because it's like this one thing is just gonna like ruin me. So that's why I was just like having a shitty day, because like, damn, now that I think of it, and I didn't even think about it like that up until like we've literally had this conversation where it's like, damn, like, this actually fucked up the rest of my life, this midterm.
Yeah, but that's real. Like, I think I hear this so much. Like, there are so many people who talk about their epiphany when they realize, like, I am overemphasizing this one thing way too much. Mm-hmm. And then you have to figure out how to step back from it. Because it's like, sometimes, and I really believe this, like, I think it's easier sometimes when you have a blueprint course for success. Because if you have no idea what you want to do, or no, like, image of what's right, then it's like, it's hard to know if what you're doing is the right thing for you or in general. And that's scary. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that fear of the unknown. Like, sometimes it's a little easier to kind of give into it and be like, fuck it, I'm going to be a doctor. Because at least then, right, I have a metric. At least then I feel like I'm doing this right, you know? And so, like, I feel like as much as we want to remove ourselves from those expectations, like, then it's just, it's nothing.
Yeah. It's also, like, easier just to have that path where you look in and you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. And if I fail, shift it towards the other one. But, like, having nothing, like, no path written out for you to follow, it's just gonna be like a blurry path, and it's just not gonna go anywhere. I feel like it's easier just to have, like, you know, what you wanted to do, but also like,
I have a pick out for you.
But then I feel like it's just a constant, like, a negotiation between, like, kind of like what you said in the beginning, Jeffrey, like, oh, do I want to fit into this mold of what a Korean is supposed to be, or do I want to create it of, like, no, this is, like, I am embodying Korean culture in, like, this new day and age. So then it's like, damn, do I go with, like, what's easier and what, like, people are going to be proud of, like, you know, what you think everyone else is going to like, versus, like, damn, do I just, like, do what I want to do and, like, be happy with myself?
And that's the hard part, because sometimes you don't even know, like, if you really like things or not. It's like, do I like the sense of accomplishment and, like, my family pride when I do this? Or do I like it because I like it? Like, I had a crisis one time when I was like, because I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, like, because I've been doing pretty well in school for myself. And I was like, wow, like, my dad is so proud of me. Like, my grandpa is so proud of me. Like, this is amazing. But I, like, froze up, and I was like, but are they proud of me for the things that I'm proud of in myself? Are they proud of me for the things that they wanted, right? Like, are you proud of me for the person that I am, or for the person I'm trying to be for you?
Right? Right. And then it just,
and that's like,
double-edged, like, sword.
Like, oh shit, you know? Am I proud of the things you're proud of me for?
I don't want to talk about that.
That's a different episode. Like, but a lot of questions, guys. And, you know, that model minority, man, that's its own episode.
To hell with it.
Yeah, that's its own episode. Let's take another break. That was a lot. And we'll wrap this up soon. But on the topic of media, guys, what are your must watches for 2024? What have you been feeling recently?
What? Let me think about this.
I've been watching Suits lately. What is it, Suits?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Suits.
Suits. I've been watching Suits lately. It's pretty good.
Is that a movie?
It's a show. It's a fucking
lore. On Netflix?
Yeah, it's a law show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it.
Like, I'm like 5 episodes in, and I think I napped through like 2 of them.
Isn't it like 7 seasons? You're gonna recommend a 7 season show 5 episodes in?
But Suits is really good. Suits is still pretty good. But if you don't want to like cram through that 7 seasons, maybe you can do a 6 seasons one. Peaky Blinder.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I finished Peaky Blinder. But also, if you don't want that 6-7 seasons, Brother Sons is really good. It's a good entertaining show, you know? It's a really good entertaining show. If you like to watch, like, you know, people fighting, people speaking Mandarin. Movies?
If you want.
I don't have any, bro.
It's not a movie year. Yeah. The Brother's Son is phenomenal. I know I just made all those comments about how violence isn't the answer, but like, bruh.
No, I like, what do you call it? My uncle's watching it right now. He said it's so, so good.
And it shows the juxtaposition because it's like, it almost shows like, I haven't even thought about this until now, but like Charles, right? The strong, handsome guy. It's like, that's what your parents want you to be. Like, that's that model minority, fucking billionaire, handsome, young, rich, strong, all of it. Hella Asian. And then you have Bruce.
Yeah.
Right? And then Bruce.
Like, the opposite, you know, who's like, he's been living in America. And one, it shows like, it's like, you got your, a lot of people, like, you kind of had your life made, like, in maybe Hanoi. I'm sure your family's, they're doing well over there, right? Mm-hmm. In Hanoi. And then you come to, like, the States and it's like, ooh, man, like, it's like, I was the shit back home, right? And now, like, you're not going to let me in here. But it kind of shows, like, that other side of it, of that immigrant experience who's kind of parental pressure, this mom who sacrificed everything and now just wants the best for her son and someone trying to find their own path. It shows all of it. Yeah. The Brother's Son. That's the show.
It does represent a lot of role models that you would see in, like, Asian community. But then, like, aside from that, there's, like, a lot of aspects towards that movie that makes this really good as well. So, like,
yeah, but
highly recommend.
My to be watched, though, I still gotta watch Past Lives.
What is that?
Have you ever watched it? Oh, my God. My worst fucking decision is to watch that shit on the fucking plane.
Because I know I'm about to cry.
Oh, my God. I watched it on the plane and I was like, I'm not fucking weak. I sobbed the fuck out of my soul.
Bro, because I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once on the plane and I also cried.
Oh, bro, on the plane is crazy.
Bro, to cry in an airplane is a low. Like, because it's on a little screen. Like, it's on a little screen.
Yeah. It's like intimate. It's like.
Naya, who was yours?
My
must.
My
what, do you, must what are your watch? Must watches?
Not gonna lie, I've really been into like drug shows. So like Breaking Bad. What is it? Sons of Anarchy, Black Mafia Family. Watch it. I'll give you my Stars login. It's not even my Stars login. It's my brother-in-law's login.
Yo, who has Stars?
Bro, have you guys not watched Power Online?
Stars? Yeah. Is it like an add-on on like
Hulu? Maybe Herman so. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Because I think I've heard about it.
No, I be watching Narcos for real.
I've seen Narcos.
So good. Yeah. You know what? It's because I blame my mom. Every time I be walking in the living room, she's watching like some drug stuff. I'm like, what is going on here?
The only thing is, though, is like I root for the bad guys because they always tell it from the bad guy perspective. Mm-hmm. Like Brother Son.
They're bad.
How do I spoil alert it? Because like basically it's like they're trying to take down the cartel.
You should have watched it now.
Right? Like they're trying to take down like a cartel. Uh-huh. And it's like I was like rooting for the cartel or the triad. Sorry, for the triad. Uh-huh. And I was like, no, like these are bad people.
No,
like,
I'd be always rooting for the
and like
cartel.
Narcos. I'm like, no, like don't like, kill Felix. Not people. Felix Gallarda. Like, what a terrible person, bro. Like,
really?
Like, kill him. Like,
get him. The government.
Yeah, but like, I'd be real for them. Like,
not for real. Anyways, not to like promote drugs, but like the drug shows do go crazy. Cause then, like, wow, the way people have to like literally make a living
because of imperialism.
Mm-hmm. But to end it on a more positive note. What are some changes in representation that you guys have seen that you feel are more aligned with who you are?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been touching on it this whole time. Mm-hmm. Just that nuance. Well, I mean, I think there are like a few aspects. I think one, something I've appreciated is that not all movies need a happy ending because that is not reminiscent of just how the communities are, bro. Like you can't wave a little magic wand and live your Disneyland dream. You know, I don't remember Past Lives because I didn't watch it. But I know it has an ending like that, where it's like, it doesn't, it can't, like, nothing, not everything works out.
Yeah, not there's, everything's pink.
There's nuance, like, you know, and like the world goes good. Get the trophy. Yeah. So I've appreciated that. I've appreciated seeing the sort of richness that can be embodied in, I guess, lifestyles that would be typically looked down on, like in Everything Everywhere all at Once, where it's like they work in this laundromat and yeah, like you might not have all this money and like this turmoil, but here's you in this other life with everything you thought you could have ever wanted, and only now can you appreciate the beauty of your circumstance. You know, like I love those movies that kind of like where you're at and your community and your family and your hardship is beautiful, right? And you should be proud of it, like whatever it looks like. Like I'm loving that in media.
That's a tough act to follow, Stella.
Honestly, I feel like I'm like on the same boat. Like just like that representation that people, like everybody can see, like from like movies and how they would like make it not pink anymore. That's great. Also, like recently, we like it just like Asians representations got, you know, really, it just got really like adapted into a lot of aspect, not just like medias and stuff like that, but you can see like representations like everywhere, and you can like, you know, like
the food.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of repetition.
You see like your language on a sign, mm-hmm. like you see your church promoting something.
Like how they would like adopt it into like everyday life, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Kind of similar to what Jeffrey said, I really appreciated the not so happy endings, because I feel like in our communities, there's not always happy endings, and there's this, like Stella said earlier, there's an idea of perfection, that there's only one happy ending, and usually it's when the whole family is happy, and then that's how you can be happy. But mm-hmm. I've known, or come to find out, that like people that represent me today they're following different paths that are not necessarily the path that is created before us?
The well-traveled path.
Well-traveled path, but it's like they're veering off and they're doing their own thing, and I think that works great too, and it's important to do those things because there's people who are like you that are looking up to you, and like sometimes you don't even think about it, but it's like things that I'm doing now that I don't know why I'm doing it, but then it's like maybe there's someone that's gonna come after me that is gonna be like, look at what they did. Like even when they come into the center, like think about years from now, like, oh my gosh, that's Jeffrey Engel, like what? But yeah, not just to sum it up, is like that there really is not one happy ending, and there also doesn't have to be a happy ending. It could just be like there's never really truly an ending. You just keep going. So
it's not a Disney movie. This you not don't just get the girl and that's it.
Okay, like, Mulan, this is not a Disney movie. Moana.
Yeah, and then the last thing, I also appreciate that it's not phrased as often as universal anymore. This is just one experience. It's just one experience, you know. That's the big thing when you look for representation. Like, don't look for the perfect fit, because it's not there. You, this listener, you cannot be summarized in one movie, because you are your own person. Like, you find little elements of something, and just because not everything there is something you can relate to doesn't mean that that's not for you. Like, even if it's just one piece, like, one element, one aspect, that gets still for you. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't relate to it at all, like, that is still a movie to enrich your identity, because I'm sure there are people around you that feel that, too. So just to end it on one last note, you know, Stella and I both shared our little Asian-American Rex, and also Suits and Peaky Blinders. But, Naya, what's, like, a Pacific Islander, Pacifica recommendation you might have for someone if they're looking for some representation?
I have the most perfect one. If you guys don't know, there's a director named Taika Waititi, and he releases amazing films. I think he was working on Thor, or he was like head
Ragnarok.
Of that.
Ragnarok.
Yes. He also released a few. He releases a lot of indigenous centered movies and with casts that look like us. So I would recommend him. There's Reservation Dogs. Next Goal Wins.
Next Goal
if
Wins.
If you haven't watched that one, Jaya. That's a good one. Good one. But I feel like he definitely is a great PI role model media type dude.
Do you want to say the name one more time and spell it?
Taika Waititi. It's Taika space Waititi, Waititi. So yeah, check him out. Check That's it my out. Uncle.
Is it?
No, I wish.
Maybe. Isn't he Maori?
Yeah.
Girl, that's like 1,000 miles away.
Close enough. Same ocean.
Well, that's all we got. You heard a lot of us talking today. So hopefully you guys made it through to the end. If you skipped to the last part and are now trying to see if it was worthwhile listening to, it is. Go check it out. It was a good conversation. But as always, thank you so much for joining. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our next episode, which hasn't been decided yet. But it will be good, and you'll know by the time it's out.
Yay.
So thanks, guys.
Thank you.